Everyone deserves to have a whinge.
It's healthy.
And every Thursday, we chuck our petty grievances on the grill, a podcast for the haters.
We're talking corporate memes, ambient techno, and people who don't understand personal space at the gym.
I am like on the mats, on the floor section in front of the mirror, and this guy comes in front of me, and it feels like I'm in his gooch.
Search for The Grill on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Previously, pop music used to be about like real experiences.
Like now it's like about products.
Oh, yes. Object, drink, smile, sun. I'm just like
the slop.
Cat's Eye is not singing about hardship. Like it's like no one's
they're
being
singing
like
about nouns. They're singing about fruity matcha.
The slop.
Cat's Eye is kind of like my Fiona Apple if you think about it.
Oh my god.
Clip that.
Should we start the podcast just by laughing?
Hello and welcome to The Slop, the podcast where we talk shit about pop culture, the internet, and everything you're already doom scrolling. I'm Lena Tuck.
I'm Jack James.
I'm Michael Sun.
And the question that's on my mind today is pop music brain rot now? Because I just feel like I've got receipts. I've got Cat's Eye. Mm. I've got Coconut Water. I've got
Coconut
Stella
Water.
Lefty. What the hell is she doing?
Okay, so I'm so glad you mentioned Cat's Eye, Lena, especially because I feel like Cat's Eye is kind of the prime example of like brain rot music, but also I love them. So what now?
So it's brain rot and you love it.
And I love brain rot.
I'm like, Cat's Eye is not something that I've like followed or enjoyed.
Must be nice.
Per se. But I would love to see it through Michael's eyes. So like, can you just like explain to us why...
What the hell is going on with Cat's Eye?
Yeah, why do you like Cat's Eye?
Yeah, I will try my best. The amount of lore is genuinely overwhelming. I'll try and do it in like 60 seconds. Yep. Is that okay? Okay.
Yep. Your time starts now.
Okay, Cat's Eye are a six-piece or maybe five-piece, depending on who you ask, global girl group who formed on the competition show Dream Academy. That was when kind of like fans voted for a series of like 20 contestants to be in this like girl group that was happened, you know, under the K-pop system, but they were making a non-K-pop group that catered to all the countries in the world. Then they were on a documentary capturing that process called Popstar Academy on Netflix, which became very viral. Now they're kind of just like functioning in the world as a six-piece group called Cat's Eye, except one of the members, Manon, the group's only black member, went on hiatus earlier this year, causing a large wave of discourse. Yes, Jack.
Isn't there now four?
Well, since then, more and more members have like kind of dropped out or gone on hiatus or had injuries. And recently, they only had three members show up at one of their live performances.
And that's it. But I think for the general audience, the reason we're talking about Cat's Eye is their music does feel like slop. I'll just say it. Yeah.
If their music is slop, then call me a pig because I'm streaming.
You're a pig.
I'm a pig.
So who is their music appealing to? And who do you think that, like, what's the appeal for you?
On one hand, they do seem very omnivorous. Like, they're putting out music. They're putting out singles from, like,
wait,
literally.
Can you tell me what that word is?
Yeah, what's the
omnivorous?
Omnivorous. Okay. Like, as in, like, they're eating it all. Like, they're really taking from, like, every single genre. Mm. Their singles, like, don't really follow, you know, any kind of rhyme or reason. Yep. Although, I would say that of late, their most successful singles, I'm thinking like the latest single, Hootie Fruity, comes to mind. Unfortunately, we actually can't play commercial music on
can
this
you
show.
Give us a
so,
karaoke?
Okay, are we ready? Yep. So, like, first of all, can someone give me a beat? You know, I like that. Hootie Fruity, Hootie Fruity, Hootie Fruity.
Wow. I think we're actually going to get banned because that sounds so close to the original.
The slop.
So this kind of strand of their recent releases really began with one of their singles last year called Gnarly. This is a song that I feel like even you have heard, Jack.
This broke through to some people in my like group of friends. Mm. And I remember one of them who I like deeply respect was like, I'm loving this song at the moment. And I listened to it and like, I was just like, what?
It really,
like it just couldn't connect
it feels
with
like
it
music
in any way.
For iPad babies.
Yeah.
Yes. It's almost like the equivalent of like Subway Surfers as music.
Yeah.
It's like second screen music, whatever that means.
Yeah.
It's like specific, music listened to like as you're doing something else. Yeah. Like, I feel like for me,
but
I'm like,
so like the beats are so fast and so hypnotic that you feel like you're being subliminally
absolutely.
Salty.
Yvonette Niage.
Say that.
Can
say
I just
that.
Actually read out some lyrics? Because I do feel like they're perfectly SEO optimized for the algorithm. Boba tea, gnarly.
Tesla, gnarly. Fried chicken, gnarly. Party in the Hollywood Hills.
Hottie, hottie, like a bag of Takis.
I would say that the predominant purpose I'm listening to music now, for better or for worse, mostly go. For worse.
This is going
to
be crazy,
is
guys.
Is to like feel crazy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean,
that's fair enough.
And this music is really serving the purpose.
But that's like, is that all there is?
To life?
Yeah.
I would argue there have been multiple songs out there that are much more c***y than...
Oh, yeah.
Hootie that haven't been carry through my like, macho, Mount Valley Water.
Yeah, songs that haven't been through like six boardrooms to get to Michael's phone. But also like I'm confused about whether there are any fans of Cat's Eye that are fans who haven't like watched the TV show that you kind of have to watch before. Like
definitely
it feels like,
not.
An ecosystem or like an economy almost that you have to like be in from the start. Like I'm not going to go back and like watch the TV show so I can like understand what's going on. And like, I don't think the final product like stands on its own without all that stuff before. Like it's not good enough and there's not enough substance. I will say that. For it to be good.
I mean, like, I'll freely admit, no substance. Hello. Like, I mean, like, like this isn't Björk.
Yeah.
Well.
No, and it doesn't have to be.
Cat's Eye is kind of like my Fiona Apple, if you think about it.
Oh, my God.
Clip that. No, okay. So
wait.
What I was really shocked by, earlier in the year, I went to a Cat's Eye meet and greet. No further questions,
okay.
Please. And literally it was like, I felt creepy there because it was like me and then genuinely a sea of like 6 to 9 year old girls, many of whom like knew every dance move. They were holding like bags of Takis, like a reference to the lyric from the song Gnarly. They were just like, they were, you know, besides, it's like, this was their kind of high five, essentially.
Yeah, high five.
Well, that's what it feels very girls. Like to me, the music is really like jarring because it sounds like Sophie or like an era of Charlie XCX, but it's the lyrics sound like a nursery rhyme or like kids bop.
But what I find very intriguing is that, you know, unlike the traditional lineage of girl groups, many of whom make teenage girl music for gay guys. You know, I'm thinking like Spice Girls, for example, their music was directly made for teenage girls. You know, the lyrics were about
Girl power,
friendship, female unity, feminism. It just so happened that like gay guys also liked them.
Yeah.
Unlike that, Cat's Eye is making gay guy music for teenage girls. Like the songs themselves sound like full circuit remixes, you know,
teenage
insane
girls or
electro.
Like, you know, toddlers.
Toddlers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I also just want to talk about the smooth brain of it all because I do feel like the lyrics, they come out with these lyrics and they're just like, okay, matcha, checkbox, Tesla, checkbox, fried chicken, checkbox, and another
boba.
And it just feels very clickbaity. And I guess like the reason why they have so much success right now is they have just like really, found their place in the algorithm where they know 13-year-olds are going to be like, yeah, love this. So I just, like, I'm, like, baffled at why you are such a fan. You just like it because it's
like,
fun.
What are you latching onto? Because it's like, look, previously pop music used to be about, like, real people, real experiences.
Feels like
now it's about product.
Oh,
yes.
Object, drink. Smile, sun. I'm just like, it's just nouns.
It's honestly because I have no object permanence. So like listening to this music reminds me that things exist.
Oh my God.
Okay, here's my earnest answer.
Do you not feel like a lacking in it? Like,
absolutely, I feel a lacking. I feel like I'm genuinely getting dumber by listening to this music. And that's why, it's like because I'm already getting dumber, that's why I'm more drawn to the music. But when it first started, I will say that part of the listening and part of the enjoyment was slightly kind of irony poison, where I was like, these lyrics are so dumb that it's funny to listen to.
Yeah. Is there like, do you have to be in a specific mood to feel like listening to those lyrics and like that music? Or are you just like, let me turn on my slot music and like...
This speaks to the degradation of my brain. Like, I think that my default mood is wanting to listen to music like this now, brain rot music, and I have to be in a really particular mood to listen to music that I once enjoyed.
I am one of those people who I'll latch onto a song that I hear on TikTok the first 15 seconds and I'll like scrub to that part and be like, okay, yep, and then listen to it over and over and over and over again. But I do feel like there's also those songs that come out where the 15 second bit is so much better than the rest of the song, and you listen to the song and you're like, anyway, back to that little
15 second. But also the song feels like it's been like reverse engineered at the start where they were like, when they're in the studio making it for the first time, they're like, this is going to be the 15-second clip. This will be the longer clip that people can dance to on TikTok or whatever. Like, that feels so insincere to me that, like, when I hear it, I'm a bit like...
Well, it's the whole thing as well about how songs are getting shorter because of the algorithm and because of, like, the way that Spotify functions.
Yeah.
Although the counterpoint to that, I guess, is when someone recently interviewed Pink Panthers and they go, like, are your songs short because of the algorithm? And she goes, no, I just like a short song.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's an interesting example because it's like you look at some of her music and the lyrics are pretty like very simple and about like one specific thing. But she's also like got like the chops and like the production talent to be able to like pull that off.
Totally.
Whereas like with Cat's Eye, I just
like a machine.
Yeah, it feels like a machine or a corporation, not like one person experimenting.
I think because we all have this public knowledge that around Cat's Eye, there's producers, there's engineers, there's a whole corporation and business side of K-pop that we're not 100% privy to. So whenever they come out with a song that feels like so algorithmically tailored to whatever the listener, that we're just all suspicious. It just feels like the absolute of selling out. I just don't think they've had enough life experience to, like, have any... Like, because they were plucked out of, like, what? How old were they when they started? Like, 15, 16?
Anywhere between 15 and 19, yeah.
That's crazy.
Young.
So, like, what hardships have they had to go through if you just, like, go straight into becoming a girl group that's, like, you know, here's the silver platter.
So, you think that the marker of pop music's, like, right to exist is whether they've experienced hardship?
I think it just like brings authenticity to a song.
But Cat's Eye is not singing about hardship. Like, it's like no one's
they're
being
singing
like
about nouns. They're singing about fruity matcha. It's like that's
they're
not
singing about nouns. Not a single verb is found in the Cat's Eye song. Like Cat's Eye's not singing fast car, you know? Like it's fine.
Yeah, well, when I think about Charlie XCX's vroom vroom, like, well.
Yeah, but that.
I think it's just the engineering factor of just like we know that it's just manufactured from this factory, K-pop factory.
Mm. To me, I think pop music is like not the same as slot music like this.
Correct.
Like when I have heard Cat's Eye like on the background of a video on my feed or like in passing, I've always felt like it has like AI vibes and not like AI... vibes as in like they generated this song using AI. When I say AI vibes, I mean like it feels like they went to a machine, like their computer, and they were like, generate me like a girl group that can achieve global domination.
Yep.
And then write all the music for them in a way that will help us like profit off this. And then it spat out literally Cat's Eye. And that's how it feels to me. It's like it's smooth. It's trying to please everybody. It's trying to please 5-year-old kids. It's trying to please Michael and Michael's friends who are uploading like Cat's Eye videos today. But like it ends up pleasing like no one 100%. Like you please everyone famously, you're not going to please anyone.
There are devotee Cat's Eye stans who are going to murder us, actually.
Good. Bring it on.
And like, I think I'm borderline one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an icon. What now?
Pop music, to me, it's like there are plenty of really stupid, not deep pop songs that I freaking love.
Like what?
Like Throatzilla by Slater or like Vroom Vroom by Charlie.
But mind you, Vroom Vroom, when it dropped, was incredibly panned. Yeah. Like, there's a, like, famous, like, Pitchfork retraction where, like, Laura Snapes goes, you know, like, I'm sorry for giving Vroom Vroom the EP such a low score at the time because I just didn't get it.
The difference to me, though, with this is, like, Charlie was making she was taking risks at that point. Like, no one had really done that at her level up to that point. She, like, put it out there. It obviously got panned, but she, like, stuck to it and kept, like, refining that sound. And, like, we know Charlie already. Like, we've seen her other songs get popular. With Cat's Eye, it's like they're doing the same thing, but there's no risk associated with it because it's like they've already seen that it works with people like Charlie. Mm-hmm. So they're just going, yeah, we'll just do that again. It's and like then we'll add in
collection.
Products so we make a bit of extra money on the side. It just doesn't feel risky.
I'm absolutely not saying there's any risk involved in Cat's Eye, but I am curious, like, do you think there's anything which sounds like any of the singles that Cat's Eye has put out?
But it sounds like an interpolation of like every popular song out there.
Yeah, which is my AI point. It's like, yeah, it's scraped everything in the world and gone, yeah, and then that's the song. Yeah.
Well, so like, what other popular songs do you think Hootie Fruity sounds like? Because I think it sounds totally new.
It's like
totally
got some like
Bad
Bunny in there.
Well, it's like, it's meant to be like a Brazilian funk song, Tutti Frutti, which has
Hootie
actually
Fruity
been
Hootie Fruity.
Hootie Fruity, Tutti Frutti. I went on the music video for this, watched a bit of it, and then scrolled down to the top two comments, as I love to do. This is the top comment. What the fuck is Hootie Fruity? I mean, when you said it was inspired by Brazilian funk, I honestly laughed because it sounds nothing like our funk. Even the lyrics are nothing like it. Funk has sexual lyrics, yes, of course, but Hootie Fruity has horrible lyrics that try to be sexual but end up sounding childish and kind of weird. Even the beat sounds wrong. It's a mess of loud and annoying sounds paired with choreography. Oh my God, it's horrible. Another person goes, I really despise this. As a Hispanic person, the forced Hispanic / Brazilian accent is really ticking me off. Not only that, it seems bizarre that they've made a slime ad in the middle of the music video, which I
ads in the music videos. Yeah, yes. Exactly. It's like a Tic Tac placement TikTok's in the video as well. There's slime. They did a Hershey's ad recently.
It's like, and it feels like the decision to do like a Brazilian funk inspired song was like quite calculated in the back end of like,
of course,
we're going to appeal to this massive demographic.
Like, who's trending right now? Bad Bunny.
But it's like, but it's so warped.
But then it ends up
failing. It's not Brazilian funk, right? Yeah, I think that's what I mean, where it's like, if you actually listen, if you actually look at the music, to me, I'm not saying the music is even objectively a net good for society.
No,
I'm just saying it's actually occupying a cultural space where I think it's pushing pop into some real like avant-garde directions.
That's
like,
fucking insane.
You have never heard anything. You have never heard anything like Hootie Fruity in your life, because this music has never existed.
But that's for a reason that we haven't heard it like that, because it's not.
It feels like it's been beamed in from like Pluto.
Pluto famously
Pluto meaning
okay, the planet way, title.
Pluto meaning West Hollywood.
In what way do you see it as avant-garde?
I just think it's like, when I listen to it, I literally get, it's like, it's basically like ASMR.
Yeah.
Do you like, I actually feel like I'm coming off like a hater, and I don't want to come off like a hater. I want to like,
we want to get
I want to like
level.
This music like you no, are.
Actually,
like,
I'm
of course I do. But I'm like, do I need to get a lobotomy before? Like, what? How can I remove the like mental block of being like, this is like capitalism?
So 10 hours of screen time a day will actually do that?
I think what you need, Jack, is to follow the advice of a tweet that I saw this week, which said, Cat's Eye's music started sounding a little too listenable. Then I realized I had black mold growing in my home for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and honey, I got to get that bleach out, because it's everywhere.
But I feel like another really good example of brain rot music is that coconut water song.
Coconut water.
It is like that little earworm brainworm where you're like,
is that a real song or is that a nut?
Coconut water. Well, this is the thing. So she posted about this
song.
What's
the difference?
The song goes viral. People are tagging Vita Coco in the comments, being like, sponsor her. Oh my God, this made me really want a coconut water. Oh my God, I really like suddenly feel like coconut water. This is crazy. This is what people parodied in the 90s when they were like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like, subliminal messaging in songs is so bad. Da, da, da.
Yeah,
and now it's
like Josie and the Pussycats kind of era. Yeah.
And like, you know, on Wayne's World when he like pulls out the Doritos brand deal. But so she ended up doing this Vita Coco brand partnership. And then everyone's like, oh my God, I love it. And like, now we're just being sold to in such an obvious way where it feels like the audience has decided that coconut water and Vita Coco and the song are the perfect match made in heaven. So now people are like, is this song made for Vita Coco or is the song promoting Vita Coco? And so we're in this
Even know what Vita Coco is.
Vita Coco is a coconut water.
I sort of figured that, but I'm just like, when did music stop being music? You know, it's like, why does it need to be like, okay, so we're the Vita Coco of it
Much
all.
A
like,
collab.
I need to get you across the Vita Coco. Just like, I'm tired and I just want to listen to music. And then like, I feel like everything that's like trending, it's like, you have to watch a show or like, no, like that
you
reference in the song is so funny because of that video. There was, I'm like,
I think that's why.
Release me.
I think that's why, especially something like Cat's Eye has so many dedicated fans, though, because every piece of lore makes you feel like a bigger fan. Mm. And it's like, if you don't know the lore, you just feel like you're kind of like on the
outside.
On it's the like out group. In the out group, exactly.
Yeah. Then even those, I think, who are like on top of the lore at the moment, like one of my friends from work was saying to me the other day, like she loves it and she's a big pop fan. Like she's
name
Swiftie.
Names.
I'm not going to name names because I call her a Swiftie. She's a Swiftie, but she's also like, she just likes listening to like fun pop music because it's like fun to listen to. But she was saying like she's a big Cat's Eye fan, and she's been saying it's like hard to support it now because of all the shit that's going on in the back end with like them all taking stress leave and like rolling their ankles.
Well, yeah.
That she feels like now to like celebrate them is to celebrate the corporation behind them and like everything they're doing.
Exactly.
Which, okay, like, actually, even for dedicated fans who've been on board, who've like learned to love them, like I think they're going to drop off eventually because it's kind of like a pump and dump scheme of like, let's get as much money as we can. And then like, they're never going to last.
I think this is why we're suspicious of them, because are the members of the band actually having fun? Like, I don't think they are.
I saw a video of one of them crying on, I think Lana was Lara, crying. Yeah. Lara? I think I saw a video of Lara crying on stage when she was able to sing her song that she wrote, which is crazy to me because I'm like, the fans obviously want to hear her singing her music that she writes. But then when they release that song, they tack it on as like a bonus track for the physical CD version.
Y'all.
So it's like, why are we covering up real like artistry. Music and artistry that like could get people like me potentially invested? Because I'm like, oh, there's actually a real person behind this.
Absolutely.
And it's not based off like a spreadsheet.
All I'll say is that y'all did not and could not have survived the K-pop mimes of the 2000s and 2010s.
You're right.
Like I grew up in a school that was 98% East Asian. And it's like, if you didn't know your K-pop, it's like you weren't coming to school the next day.
Wow. So are you saying it as in like, are you supporting the member? Like,
I'm definitely not supporting the labels, but I'm just saying like there was a time in which it was
Michael's supporting the labels and
condemning
the band
much
members.
Worse.
Sorry,
it has been so much worse.
It's been so much worse.
Really?
Like it's like even though obviously there is still a long way to go, and you know a lot of fans are very critical of the label and critical of particular staff even who work at the label
of
and
course.
who have like day to day operations with Cat's Eye.
Yeah. Like how many people does it take to produce a Cat's Eye song? Do you think?
7 billion and counting.
Yeah, 7 billion.
Because like that, to your point about the lyrics and Lara writing her own music, it's wild that like, yeah, then we get like Carry My Matcha, Mount Valley Water, like surely they've optimized.
They're opting for that instead, even though the fans are like, this is what we want. It's like, do you think that Cat's Eye would be successful if the label of it all was like, we're not going to look after you guys anymore?
No, but
do your own thing.
No. A vocal proportion of fans are saying, we want real vocals. We want a song like Animal, for example, which just they did just come out with as a single.
And the Ed Sheeran
and
song.
And features them singing, written by Ed Sheeran. And that song is not necessarily doing very well in the charts.
Right.
Like, it's not doing as well as previous, quote-unquote, brain rot singles have done.
Well, I guess that's also what we're saying, is, like, these lyrics are optimized for the algorithm, and that's why they're doing well.
Yeah. So. But then there's also music, like, that's not optimized for the algorithm that's doing really well on the charts as well. So it's not like you have to follow that path to achieve, like,
I mean, thinking of, like,
stardom.
Slater, like, her catastrophic rise.
Catastrophic?
Tell us how you really feel.
What's catapult?
Stratospheric.
Meteoric.
Slater's meteoric rise to success, which I'm supporting, and I love Slater.
Yeah, and that to me feels like as far away from AI vibes as you could possibly get. Like, it's gritty,
but
it's like
still,
loud.
Like, sprinkles of little AI, not AI, algorithmic.
Sprinkles of it, yeah, but I think that's like, that's pop music. At least it's not like algorithmic in the sense that it's like you're scrolling through freaking Temu trying to read the lyrics, like product. It's like it's at least it's about the human experience. Yeah. And that's nice.
Our question at the start of the episode was, is all music brain rot music? I'd say the answer is no, but it very much seems like there are only two possible paths mm-hmm. for popular musicians to exist nowadays, which is number one is brain rot. You know, you have the kind of like Cat's Eyes, even, you know, again, Slater, Love Her. Some of the music is leaning towards like that kind of like brain rot slash like LA flop style music, mm-hmm. Like marketed to gays. And then the other route is what I would call like being a Tay Daughter, like okay, being like a Taylor Swift acolyte. Like, you know, like that's where I see like Stella Lefty, Gracie Abrams, Olivia Rodrigo, like singer-songwriter style music that, you know, I guess strives towards authenticity. Whether or not it gets there is
well, it's
kind of
sitting on those two levels of the algorithm where it's just like the POV, you're walking through a crowd and you feel a certain, like it evokes a feeling. And then there's like the SEO optimized lyrics, which I find kind of interesting.
That is so depressing to me that the two routes to like pop music stardom are like be Taylor Swift or brain rot.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like there's
people who don't fit into those.
Absolutely.
But I can't think of any.
I guess like, I mean like Rosalia, but it's like, yeah. Who I love dearly, but I'm like, would I call her like a A-tier pop star? Yeah. No.
And there's pop stars who are striving for like numbers, who are doing that sort of brain rot stuff. And then there's pop stars who are like, well, like what even is a genre anymore? I'm just going to like make the music I want to make. Like and Rosalia and FKA Twigs, like they continue like making their artistry, but it's like not about like maximizing the numbers they get.
But I don't think this is also led through the artist. I think this is also led through labels that are pushing music to
and
do
and at
this.
The end of the day, it all comes back to capitalism.
Yeah. Well,
like,
yeah.
Sorry, but
coconut water.
Spin the wheel.
The wheel.
Oh, it appeared again. Oh, I'm getting used to this now.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, ready?
We got to get a new wheel.
Wait.
Let us know in the comments if you guys would support us getting a new wheel.
We're
going to set
a GoFundMe.
Explore page. Okay, what's on everyone's explore page? Explore page is where we show each other our explore page.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, are you cooked or not?
So, okay. I'm very curious to see what's on mine this week because as both of you know, so this is a game that actually Lena made me first play at my own birthday. And for about like 4 months, every time I checked my explore page, it would just be pictures of like black leather bags. And Lena would get so annoyed every time she saw a fucking black leather bag. So let's see.
I reckon there's going to be a black leather bag. Mine is...
maybe 3 words to describe it.
3 words. Strangers. Star Wars. That's 3 words. The only thing that's really standing out to me is this like bedazzled Jar Jar Binks bag.
Bag.
Which I...
oh my God.
Okay, do you think it's reflective
Mine's giving generic. It's giving like someone who just downloaded Instagram.
Do you think it's reflective of how you're feeling?
No.
Okay. Mine at the moment is actually 3 toes. Some toes, toe action going on
like
there.
Like 3 posts of toes or yes. someone with 3 toes?
3 separate posts of toes.
Right.
Wow.
Some nail art, gigantic sneakers and coffee. Which
that
I don't think
that seems pretty on brand for you.
No. Yeah, especially the toes.
Let me show you the gigantic sneakers.
Oh, wow.
There's something interesting going on there.
Oh, so a lot of foot content. You're right.
Yeah, interesting.
And gooey cookies.
And normally your dogs are on display. Yeah. So really,
I don't think they're ever on display.
Well,
they should be.
They should be.
A lot of nail art. Do I feel like it's reflective of how I'm feeling at the moment? Not really.
Okay.
Instagram, do better.
Yeah.
So this one is actually quite tame. I will say there is just one black leather bag, but it has a dog on it.
Oh, that's cute.
It is quite cute, right? Another dog, a bear, some jeans, and then a text post, which I actually really agree with, which says, I hate when a straight man posts a photo dump. Unfollowed plus you gay.
Yep.
Do we agree?
That's actually true. Yeah.
If you agree.
It's like borderline uncontroversial. It has 1 million views. So clearly everyone agreed.
And if Instagram's going to mine my data, they may as well do it well. So do better next week, actually. Yeah. That's the slop.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Cat's Eye fans, please don't cancel us.
And then we go into our like hibernate mode until the next episode.
Yep. Do not disturb.
If you liked what you heard, you can follow us on TikTok at Triple J The Slop. Also, send us whatever you want at theslop@abc.net.au. And I mean whatever.